Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. It is the 19th of February, and this is oneradionetwork.com. Next hour, Dr. Ray Peet is going to be here, an encore performance, and we'll see about seeing if we can get him in on a regular basis, semi-regular, or something like that. Because you love him, and he's a cool guy. He's, I think, 85 revolutions around the sun. I've been researching the health kind of things for a very long time. If you have a question for him, you can email it in, just as people do for the show all the time, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We already have a couple of email questions in for our first guest, Dave Stetzer. They like Dave Stetzer, too. He's on from time to time. Been a while. I don't know when last, but anyway. Dave is up in Blair, Wisconsin. He has Stetzer Electric. He knows a lot about this whole electrical thing where he worked with the moo cows with the what they call stray voltage in the ground years ago. Figured out how the power company was putting the voltage back through the ground like they're not supposed to do. And they call it stray voltage. And the moo cows didn't give as much milk. And he's been working on this a long, long, long time. He's worked with Magda Havis up in Canada, traveled around the world, worked over Russia, developed the Stetzer filters that filters out the white noise of the dirty electricity through the wires in your home. And nice man. And it's StetzerElectric.com. And in Blair, Wisconsin, where they have 2 feet of global warming on the ground. Is that right, Dave?
Yes.
You've got
and more to come.
2 feet of global warming on the ground. Well, good for you. Yeah. Good morning, Dave Stetzer.
Good morning.
Yeah. So it's cold up there, huh?
Yeah, it's about 9 below.
Holy meow. Joe. Well, you guys in Wisconsin, though, you know about the cold weather, right? I mean, the winter is kind of normal, right, up there?
Oh, yeah. It's a little colder, though. This late in February, usually we start, averages are probably around 20, 24 or something.
Yeah. Do you tell us a little bit about your business up there? I've never really asked much. Do you have an ongoing, like, electrical business? Do you have people that work for you and go out and fix wires and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, sure. We have some electricians, and we have a large electric motor shop where we rewind and repair electric motors.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Then we have this consulting business where we go around and take measurements and try to help people out.
Yeah. So people come to you and they'll hear about all this electrical sensitivity, or they're experiencing some kind of sensitivity to this or that. And do you travel to work with people, or just work in the area?
Oh no, I've been around the world many times. So
really, yeah. How long, how many years now you've been studying this stuff?
Oh, my gosh. I started in 1975.
Wow.
Well, actually, 1970. I was in the military. That's how I got my electrical training in the Air Force. And then when I got out of the Air Force, I started my business in 1975. So
75, my goodness. Well, I mean, but back then, did we even know anything about, say, the white noise, the dirty electricity in the wires, or anything like that? I mean, you weren't...
Well, we didn't have so much of it in those days.
Really?
For one thing. If you remember, when you're... all electronic equipment runs on DC current. So when we have the AC current, we plug it in. We had tubes, vacuum tubes in the old days, I guess we could call them.
Yeah.
So when you went over to your grandpa's house, you looked in the back of the TV set, you seen the little...
I remember those in my house, yeah. We had those.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so then, actually, all the AC did is it heated a little filament in the tube, and it kind of like boiled electrons off a tungsten plate, a little plate in there. So then we didn't really chop up the sine wave. In other words, the AC power looked the same when it came out as it did when it came in. But then we started getting diodes, and we made switch mode power supplies, they call them. And they still do call it that. And it chops up the sine wave. So that's it started, you know, in the late 70s, but there wasn't a lot of it. You know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the black and white TVs that I remember we had originally, it was a little circle, and my dad and I would go up to the drugstore, and you'd plug in tubes, right, in this little thing, and see which tubes were bad, and you'd buy a tube, right, for $2 and fix the TV. I remember that. That's really interesting.
They were actually DC.
Safe. They were DC. They were running on direct current.
Yes, we took the AC, and we didn't change the AC to DC. What we did is it used the AC, and we developed DC current with the tube.
Okay.
But now we take and we run the sine wave through diodes, and so it chops off like the positive part or the negative part of the sine wave, and we get this pulse DC, sort of like it's called. And what happens is then it's got all these high-frequency transients on it.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, and so that's, it's on the wires and actually causes health problems.
Yeah, so if we picture a sine wave, and you could probably just Google that real quick, and it's just kind of a nice little circle that goes way upright, and then it comes down, and it's a beautiful little thing, right? Sine wave.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like a wave, yeah.
It's like a wave, and then when you put it through a diode, which you do now with everything, it chops it up, and this wave is not pure and smooth. There's little, I've seen it on my place when a guy brought a machine over. I wanted to see it. There's little steps on it, on it. And that's what causes what we call dirty electricity and actually affects the body.
Yes, if you made the human body into an electrical model,
mm-hmm.
it would look like three resistors and two capacitors. Now, capacitors are short to high frequency. So what happens is when you get frequencies above 2 kilohertz or 2,000 hertz, 2 kilohertz,
mm-hmm.
okay, that energy will dissipate internal to the human body. So you can say, well, yeah, but, you know, the 2 kilohertz is a lot, and we have 60 hertz on the line.
Right.
But if you take, like, those compact fluorescent light bulbs, you know, the ones that look like a snake?
Yeah.
They put between 50 kilohertz and 100 kilohertz back on every wire in the house.
Ooh.
And they also radiate through space. So if you're sitting under one and say it's 65 or 68 kilohertz or something that it's producing, you're getting, that's absorbing right into your body. Like a Mac Book Pro or computer, that'll put like 12.5 kilohertz back on the line. Dell computers, the towers, they'll put like 16.6 kilohertz back on the wires. Most of your more like Dell laptops and things like that, they're like 50 kilohertz now. They'll put it back on the line. Smart meters, they have to use a DC circuit to transmit that information to the power company. So their switch mode powers usually put 50 kilohertz back on the wires.
So the smart meters, they're doing a double assault, if I hear you, where they're actually doing a radiate out radio frequencies from the meter itself, which is a problem. And then they're also putting this high kilohertz juice on in the lines itself as well.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, it goes back on the grid. So even if you have an opt-out program,
right,
and you don't have one on your house,
yeah,
but your neighbor does,
yeah,
you're getting 50 kilohertz coming into your house on the wires.
On the wires.
Mm-hmm.
And there's science to show that anything above 2 kilohertz, which is 2,000 hertz,
mm-hmm.
it affects the body in a negative way?
Yeah, that energy will dissipate internal to the human body. So if you look up radio wave sickness, okay, which is exposure to higher frequencies, okay, those symptoms are the symptoms of, you know, that you're going to have or should have.
Radio wave sickness, they call it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
What do you mean when it says it dissipates? Do we know what it does in the body once it gets in there?
Well, we know that it affects your immune system.
Yep.
because Dr. Sam Milham has done research on the neurotransmitters. It affects blood sugar. Professor Havas has done research on blood sugar. Now, these are numbers that are plotted against numbers. People say they get headaches, nausea, flu-like symptoms. Well,
right.
You can't prove that, but you can prove, and I believe them 100%, okay? I mean, absolutely. But like, you take, like, a number, like maybe the Dalai Lama can change his blood sugar, but psychosomatically, but I don't think you or I can, see?
Yeah.
So it affects, like, blood sugar and neurotransmitters, which is really the electrical grid of the immune system. pH in the saliva.
Everything.
Free radicals in the blood.
So our body is an electrical thing. I know people say that and it sounds cool, but it really is.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, yeah. Patrick, is your body is an electrical being, but it's DC current, direct current.
We're DC.
Yeah, and so then you send AC, because like 50 kilohertz or something like that, that's AC, alternating current, and you interrupt those signals.
Interrupt our own body signals?
Yeah.
I see. So let me see if I have this right. Was it Tesla that had the DC thing, or did he have the AC thing, and then Edison took it over? Do you remember which one?
Yeah, one of them wanted DC, but, they had Tesla both, but anyway, there was a big argument about if we should be AC or DC.
Right.
But you could ship AC farther. You could step
it up. So that's why they went with that.
Yeah, you can step up AC through a transformer, send it down the line farther, and then step it back down so you can get a more usable power.
So back in the early 1900s, when I think Edison and Tesla were both working on it, and I think General Electric grabbed the AC and did that, right? Is that how that worked at GE?
I think so.
Something like that. But so the DC thing would have been way safer if they would have just went with that from the very beginning.
That's true.
For our body. But
that's absolutely true.
Yeah, but they couldn't spread it all around like they do now with the AC, right? You'd have to have a lot more different.
It's harder to ship it over long distance.
Yeah, it's harder to ship.
You have to have higher voltage. You have to really boost it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have DC, like, transmission lines, but what they do is they take the AC and they change it to DC, you know, a higher voltage, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they ship it long distances. Then they got to step it down again.
Mm-hmm.
But the process of going through inverters and switchable power supplies creates high frequencies.
Yeah.
And usually if you're shipping it all long distances, like, these high frequencies, they travel on the ground, say.
Yeah.
In North America, then. We have a ground-to-wire system. So what happens is it kind of eats up the infrastructure. In other words, telephone wires that are buried and you know, sewers and piping and things like that, it'll actually, destroy that.
Yeah. I can remember when I first built this home, I was totally off the grid, right, panels. And then that creates DC, and then you have to have a converter to go to AC, right? And then so you could use AC fridges and things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I had the fellow come out when I first talked to you and put a sine wave thing on in my plugs, you know, to see the sine wave. And it was chopped up and everything because the converter, right, going from DC to AC was chopping it all up. So I was not having any benefits by being on solar at that point. Is that correct?
No, solar is really kind of, I haven't measured any,
mm-hmm.
and I've measured all kinds of them, okay? And I've never seen a clean solar inverter. The solar is, you know, great, free energy from the sun,
sure.
Whatever, okay? But most solar inverters will put 20 kilohertz back on every wire in the house,
yeah.
in the neighborhood, and on the ground.
Isn't that
okay?
Weird?
In Australia, North America, where we use a ground-to-wire system.
Hmm.
So if your neighbor puts solar in, I mean, it's affecting you in your house. Another thing that's really bad, you know, and they say it's green power, is wind. Because the wind produces AC.
Mm-hmm.
Then we take the current from the AC and we charge a battery bank.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So now we have to take the AC, turn it into DC.
Yeah.
So then we have to run it through, the switchable power supply. Then we got DC because it's a constant voltage. Then we have to change that back into AC, so we have to put it on through an inverter. So you'll find both 20 and kilohertz and 50 kilohertz on the ground, on the water pipes, you know, on the wires itself, on the primary neutral wires, in the whole area where there's wind turbines.
Really?
Yeah.
So
most people can't.
And I know you went up to, didn't you go up to Niagara Falls and measure all of this with a huge wind farm up there, and you found this thing was really cattywampus and dangerous?
Very dangerous. People are sick all over up there. They're complaining, but they got to complain to the government. The way it's my understanding, the government is the one who's in, you know, is putting it in. Niagara Falls, now that's green, okay? That really is green. That river doesn't stop flowing, and
sure,
you know, turbines. But when I was there, they said that Niagara Falls was only running at like 30% of its capacity.
Hmm.
And then they put all these wind towers up, and people in the whole area are getting sick. Now, you know, at some point in time, maybe somebody, you know, not being quite truthful or something, but the whole area is sick, and I have the measurements, and the literature shows that if you're exposed to this, you're going to suffer from that. And the government still, they're still having problems up there.
Yeah, because they're getting sick because of the stuff in the ground as well as, and it gets in the water pipes and then coming in their homes and everything. But you had said, if I remember, that there is a engineering fix that you could do to these kind of systems to make them safe, correct?
Yes, as long as we know the filter, you know, the frequencies that they're putting on,
you can filter them out.
Make a tuned filter for that particular frequency and short them out.
Really?
And I suppose it costs a little more money to put them in. I mean, the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, the IEEE, there's white papers and everything written on you know, putting filters on and cleaning up that sine wave, like for solar or for wind or anything.
You could do it, right?
Yeah, it's not an impossible task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but of course, if you talk to the gov about something like that, they're, you know, they would just be like head, you know, in the blinker, whatever, deer in the headlight kind of look, probably. Well, Dave Stetzer is with us. If you'd like a question, we have a lot to talk about here this morning. 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It's always fascinating to learn more about it. Every time we talk, Dave, over all these years, I always learn more. So there are a lot of people that dream someday of doing solar. Let's not leave them on a negative note. You have said there are fixes that one could do to a inverter to have a clean sine wave if you wanted to do solar one day and use AC diode appliances, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, it's not the doom and gloom of it. I mean, we don't want to...
You could fix it.
Yes, it's not that expensive.
Okay.
We make some filters here that you need to put on your wires, but it doesn't come just from, you know, like from solar. I mean, it comes from
everywhere.
All kinds of things, so you need these filters. But Corecom, there's a company called Corecom, and we people will call here and say, hey, my solar is really bad, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so we get how many amperage, you know, how much amperage it draws, and, you know, or watts or whatever, you know, and voltage and amperage, we got to know. And Corecom, we put them in touch with Corecom, and they put a filter on. And it's like about $100 or something like that.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And it really does a good job,
mm-hmm.
and it cleans it up. Now, but they shouldn't really have to go aftermarket and look for
sure.
something that's kind of a generic thing. If Sunny Boy, for example, is making,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
An inverter. They know that this is a byproduct of it. They can say, okay, our inverter puts
a clean sine
20
wave.
Kilohertz back on the line. Let's put this thing right in line with it, this filter that's tuned just for 20 kilohertz.
But you haven't seen an inverter that really does that, or the company?
No, I haven't seen a company that does it up front. The ones that we had, everybody I've seen or something where we've taken the measurements is something that was put on aftermarket.
Mm-hmm.
The IEEE, Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, they have, I mean, it's a fully understood problem, and so it isn't just Dave Stetzer saying, hey, this is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, the IEEE's got white papers on it, and they not only say, hey, this is the problem, but this is the fix.
Yeah,
and they give you examples of, here's what we did, you know, here's the sine wave before, then we put this filter on, and look what happened now.
Do they still make a nice supply array choices, affordable DC equipment, if you really wanted to just go that way and just do all DC in your home? It would be difficult, I guess.
I know people who do it, but the stuff is very expensive.
Is it?
They don't refrigerators.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's, you know, that big a market.
Sure.
And, you know, it just gets to be kind of high priced.
Yeah, I would suppose. And I guess I don't even know if they make DC computers, do they?
The computer is DC to begin with, so you just have to get the right power.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
They're DC to get.
Okay,
stay right there, Dave. Dave Stetzer is there. We're going to take a quick little break and hear for you. We already have a few emails in. Come on in. He knows a lot about this stuff. We're going to we have a question on grounding. We're going to ask him about 5G, and we'll tell you about his filters that you can get from StetzerElectric.com, which will get rid of this dirty electricity, and they're very affordable, and I got them all over my house, and my little numbers are really great. If you get a Graham Stetzer meter and you plug it in, pretty cool. And you can share it with your neighbors and help them, turn down the voltage a little, turn down the juice a little bit in the wires in their homes. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Good morning. Previously with Wayne Blakely, we were talking about the Living Streams probiotics. Oh, that's why when we do your Bifido in the mouth, we do it for the yttrium. Because the actual Bifido doesn't...
But the Bifido 2 product I have, you put it in your ear, it bypasses the gastrointestinal tract, and it goes through the lymph system, the drainage system, goes right into the small intestinal tract. It bypasses the gastrointestinal tract. That's the reason I developed it. Now, for 50 years, they've been to develop a probiotic capsule that you could take that'll open up in that area so the bacteria start growing. There's two problems with that. Number one, it doesn't work, and number two, they put a pathetic Bifidos in there. They're weak, and they're dying anyway, you know.
What do you mean it doesn't work, number one? That's a bad way.
It doesn't work. That capsule doesn't work. So that's the reason I developed a liquid product to bypass the gut.
Well, why doesn't the low pH just kill the liquid guys, too?
Because we put it in the ear, bypasses the gas.
Oh, okay. That's the Bifido, too, right? Okay.
That's the Bifido, too. You can use any of my products do the same thing. They'll go right through, bypass the upper tract and go right into the lower tract. And that's where your immune system's kicks in down there.
So we could use any of the Living Streams in our ear?
Any of them. It's all safe.
How be done?
Totally safe.
Cool. That is pretty cool. That's where a good portion of the immune system is, in the small intestines. Check them out in our store, Living Streams products, all of them on OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, as you know, we have talked to plenty of people, and we'll talk to Dave about it too, about the 5G thing, and Dr. Paul and Dr. Cowden, and it really can affect the immune system, all this stuff. Oh my goodness, you know, with the Wi-Fi and the telephone, you know, towers down the road. There's some contraption out there. I shouldn't call them contraptions, but there's one technology that we think is pretty spiffy that I have and has a great deal of science behind it, developed in Australia. I think they've been working on 25 years. Brandon Amalani came in contact with these people some years ago. He did quite a bit of research. There's some real science behind it. Would affect, help the chickens stay healthier, laying more eggs, lower mortality rate by being surrounded by this technology, and it's called Blue Shield. Blue Shield, and you put a little cube, plug it in, and what it does, it works on the cells in the body. It's not a contraption or a device to block anything or to change or model the electromagnetic fields that some of them do in the scalar, but this is more working on the cells in the body. And this has been proven. And it changes every 45 seconds or so the body doesn't get used to it. If you just had one hit out there saying to the cells, okay, get stronger, get healthier, protect yourself from these RF frequencies and all that, the body would just, you know, how the body is, it just kind of wouldn't do it. Well, over time, it would just, you know, just, you know how that is. So it switches every 45 seconds or so. So it's really interesting technology. Check it out. It's they also have a little credit card sized thing, very thin, and you plug it into your computer USB to charge it up, and it lasts for a few weeks, sometimes longer, depending on how often you leave the home, and you can just put it in your pocket, and especially on airplanes, and it also does the same thing, goes out about 10 feet. You can bring it in with you when you travel. They all have Wi-Fis and sleep with this little baby too. That's what I do. So it's cool technology. It's Blue Shield. Use promo code ONERADIO, promo code ONERADIO, and you get 10% off on everything that they have there.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
We're talking with Dave Stetzer, StetzerElectric.com. We're going to tell you about his little filters that he has. But let me jump right in before anything else and get your opinion. I'm sure you have one on this miracle 5G that's coming to a neighborhood near you and me. Mr. Stetzer?
Oh, you want my opinion?
I want your opinion. Who do you think I was asking, my listeners?
Well,
I mean, is this stuff?
I think everybody should know my opinion. Look,
it's not good, is it?
No, I wouldn't. You know, I haven't done any research on it or anything like that. Okay, but Dr. Paul has, and you know, all these people have, and you know, the people that I know and respect that are really good researchers in this industry, nobody's had anything good to say about it at all.
Nobody. So
and they go by measurements, and this is good research. I mean, nobody's paying them. You know, they're not taking money from the telecommunications industry or anything like that, okay? Mm-hmm. So they have no reason to lie, and I believe them 100%.
So,
knowing
what you know, is it, I guess what we've been hearing, it's pulsing, and it's stronger, and it's just, there's just nothing good about this stuff, right? It's just...
you can't take the human body, I mean, because it is an electrical thing. I mean, if you get a cancer cell on your ovary, I mean, there's an electrical signal that says, hey, there's something here. You know, this is oversimplification, but it sends a signal up to your brain, says, hey, there's something here, and your brain says, oh, yeah, let me analyze it. And sends a signal back and analyzes it and says, hey, you know, we got to go ahead and send something down there to kill it or whatever. I mean, if you stick your finger on a hot ironing board, right, or iron, right? First of all, your brain says, get it off, right? So you pull your finger off. Well, then you get a blister down there to kind of cool it off, right? You know, and stuff. So, I mean, your immune system is working all the time, and it's with electrical. And you can't interrupt those signals, or you can't do that without having, problems.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And, you know, Dave, if we think about it, and if you really consider the work of... you know, Dr. Paul and others, as you say, where it's affecting the immune system, it must be actually screwing with the bacteria and stuff like that as well, which is a lot of the immune system, right? I guess we don't have any idea what it's really doing. I mean, you know, unless you start picking people apart with X-ray, who knows? I don't know how you would really tell, you know, exactly the full effects of this stuff.
No, it's not good for you, you know. No. And you know, I'm sure the head of the telecommunications industry or something. You know, I mean, they're people who, even in the World Health Organization, you know, if you look at it and you really, and somebody says, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, start looking at some of these things, okay? And you'll find that they're usually a consultant for that utility industry so it's follow the money, I guess. But where you get, like, these other guys, you know, they don't, you know, like Dr. Paul and that, they're not into Sam Milliam or Professor Milliam.
Yeah, they don't have people paying.
You know, Professor Havas. Yeah. They're not paid off by these people, so they do independent research, and it's good research. But they don't have the millions of dollars worth of funding either, you know, to come up with things. I mean, even on like a cow, there's a guy who, University of Wisconsin-Madison, you know, said that it takes one volt to affect a dairy cow.
1 volt?
Well, it doesn't. It takes a whole lot less. But he got paid. He's a paid consultant by the electric utility.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, a professor at a university, okay? And so he testifies in court all the time. But so he says it takes 1 volt. But if you read the paper, it was never published in any peer-reviewed journal, but all the legislators and stuff, they adopted these rules. But he said what they did is they put the cow's pinch ring in the cow's nose, and they put her back feet on a metallic plate. Then they had a variac, and they run voltage between the two, okay, until the cow showed pain.
Hmm.
Well, what their criteria for pain was is the cow had to twitch her nose, blink her eye, and wiggle her ear simultaneously. Now, that's junk science.
You think?
Well, I'm sure you got farmers in your audience, you know. I mean, and how many people, even if they're not farmers, how many people, you know, drive down the road and see a Holstein cow all of a sudden turn into Santa Claus, you know? It's like, you know, twitch your nose, blink your eye, and wiggle your ear, and simultaneously, okay? And they had 2 trained observers in front of the cow. Well, you know, they adopted this stuff. Well, this is what happens. So 5G, I don't have any specific research that I did or something where we have research on the cows that I did and I can see the results.
Right,
and,
yeah, I understand.
And it stands up in court and everything.
You yeah. know,
and published in peer-reviewed journals, okay? But on the 5G, I don't have any of that. But it certainly can't be good for you. Nothing else is, you know, the predecessors weren't good, so why would this?
Yeah, why would? There's a big movement though around the world with all kinds of organizations and people and docs and trying to squash this stuff, this 5G. So I don't know. You know, maybe there will be enough pushback and they won't really roll it out hugely like they. I know they already are in California, right? In other places, California, I know soon.
I don't want to see it myself personally.
Yeah, man, me neither. So is the potential effects of like a cell phone tower down the street, or is it the same as say a Wi-Fi? Is that the same kind of energy?
Sure. There's 2 issues with it, again. With like a cell tower.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a broadcast signal from the cell tower, okay? That's radiation coming through space, all right? And so you're going to have to protect yourself from that. I mean, that's bad for you, okay? But also, at the base of that cell tower, there's all kinds of electronic equipment, okay? And that equipment runs on DC power. And so usually, if you look at a cell tower, all right, and you look at the waveforms that are, you know, after it comes out of that cell tower, you're going to see 50 kilohertz because of the switchable power supplies there. So in other words, there's 50 kilohertz going back on the grid and into the ground. So if you're living down the street from this cell tower, we can usually take an oscilloscope and we can find 50 kilohertz on your water pipes.
Oh.
You know, from your sink to your floor, we can take a measurement and see 50 kilohertz. It's coming on your ground wire, you know, the third plug on every outlet, you know, that the ground one, the ground plug. It's there. It's on the primary neutral wire. It's on the hot and the neutral wire on your outlets. You know, on every wire in your whole house, you're going to see the 50 kilohertz. So even if you were over the bank or around the corner or something where, you know, you didn't get the direct radiation, you're still getting that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's twofold again.
So this fits right in. This is Daryl's question. Patrick has talked about the RF meter that he got from lessemf.com. I got the same one. It's an orange one with a ball on it. Is Dave familiar with this one?
Yes, I am.
Probably. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. But I'd like to know what setting I put it on and what would be a safe setting to live in 24/7.
Okay. That's a very good question.
Good question.
So I like coming on your show.
Yeah, Daryl's on it,
you know,
man.
I've said this many times. You know, you have a very, very good audience.
They're on.
And it's a very good question, okay? All right. There's different standards around the world. There's like Salzburg and all this stuff, okay? But I go by the Russian standard.
The Russians.
Because they use real people, unfortunately, you know, for the research and things. And I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
Now, the Russians say 10 microwatts per meter squared, okay?
Microwatts per meter Square.
Yeah. And the micro's going to, it's going to be 10, and or well, okay, you're going to get the micro, it looks like a little U with a tail on.
You're right.
You know, slash W, and then, you know, M, and it's going to be a little
the M2. Square. Okay, oh, yeah. So that little U slash W M2.
Yeah, that little U yeah. with a little
gotcha.
Thing, it means micro. Okay, so now, what they don't say it's safe. The safe level is zero.
Yeah.
But 10 microwatts per meter square, what they say, may be acceptable.
Whoa.
In other words, is there damage being done? Yes. But is your immune system repairing the damage as fast as it's being damaged?
Maybe.
You know, okay. That 10 microwatts.
Okay.
You want to be under 10 microwatts per meter squared.
If you were going to buy some property and you stood in the middle of the property where you're going to build your house and you had one of these things, right, and it said something like 100 microwatts per meter squared, would you build a house there?
Probably not. I would want to go ahead and find out where it's coming from first, but probably not. No.
Probably not. Wow. Wow, that's pretty challenging to find a spot, as you know. Yeah, okay.
Well, it depends on where it's coming from. I mean, it's from a smart meter next door. Maybe you can shield it, or maybe there's an opt-out program or something like that.
I see. You want
but
to find
again,
out the
source.
Again,
if it's a cell tower, nobody's going to take that cell tower down for you, and you can't really shield,
right.
You know, very, you know, successfully.
Mm.
So the answer is probably not. No, I wouldn't.
So I'll do a little quick little thing on your filters so people understand. So you long ago, you worked with the fellow by the, what, Dr. Graham?
Martin Graham
in California.
Professor emeritus from UC Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
His best friend I had in the whole world. he forgot more about electricity than most people ever would learn. He has over 50 patents to his name.
Wow.
So, anyway, him and I were best friends. And I went to Russia because we were both ex-military, and we both knew the symptoms or head classes in radio wave sickness, okay? And so, but we couldn't talk about them, so I went to Russia to get printed information. When I showed the Russians what was on their building's wires,
yeah. Okay,
then they said, oh, okay, so then they wanted to help me, or, you know, because they have the problem too then. And so we made some filters. We wanted to find out which frequencies do we have to get rid of. Which ones are the most biologically active frequencies? And it's between 4 kilohertz and 100 kilohertz. And so we made these filters that takes out between 4 kilohertz. It starts working really well at 2 and goes way out beyond 100. And you won't find anything really on the lines that are above 100. But so anyway, we built these filters, and it was a process. We made one that went on the whole house, but it didn't work very good. So we just don't buy those or don't get involved with that. Because there's two sources. One is what you're putting on with your computer, your TV, and things.
Your light bulbs, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, light bulbs, whatever. Get rid of the light bulb. That's cheaper than buying filters. So we made these filters, and you plug them in, and we made a meter because people can't afford $5,000 for an oscilloscope, and if you did, doesn't matter anyway. I mean, you don't need to. We made a little meter that measures the high frequency energy that's on the building's wires.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug these filters in, and the results should be immediate. It's faster than penicillin.
Yep. You can see it, boy. You just plug them in, and you can watch the meter go down. And then
Yeah. You don't need one in every outlet.
No.
But you need to, you know, you want to get the numbers down. And if you get it below 50, you're certainly below 2 kilohertz, and that's all you have to do is get below 2 kilohertz.
Yeah.
Now, there's been a lot of research done, and the research will say 35 or something, but that's because that's what the number actually ended up coming down to.
But so, if you get below 50, you're pretty good.
If you're below 50, you're below 2 kilohertz, and it's not, the energy's not going internal to the human body then.
And if you'd like to get some of these filters, just go to Stetzer Electric or you call you, right?
Just call here.
Yeah, just call,
there's
man.
Probably a better price than what's on the web or
yeah,
something.
He'll take care of you. It's Stetzer.
Yeah,
Stetzer Electric, 608-989-2571, 608-989-2571. And it normally takes, maybe up to 5 to 10 filters for a small home?
Well, yeah. The average home has, like, depends on how much electronic equipment you got.
Sure, you just, yeah.
But if you have, the average home, you know, home, not an apartment or something like that, the average home can take up as much as 20. But that's two TVs and a computer or so. Okay, so if you have less, less. But you can call here. Somebody will help you. Real people answer the phone. We don't have any of the machines. You know, we're not old-fashioned, but we're kind of old-fashioned.
Oh, actually, I wanted to talk to somebody in India. Come on, you're no fun.
Yeah, right. And we all speak English.
Yeah, hello, fun.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, but to be clear, these filters simply filter out the dirty electricity or white noise, the disruption in the sine wave we were talking about, for all the stuff coming in from the grid, from compact fluorescents, from your from all the equipment, right? It doesn't do anything for cell phone towers or 5G, any of that stuff, right?
No,
just to be clear.
It's what's on the wires.
What's on the wires.
Right. And they're the most biologically active frequencies, okay? But it doesn't do anything for cell phones. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything for deck phones.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for the Wi-Fi and like that. Now, that's where you need another meter, and you can get the one like you have with the little orange ball on. I don't use that. I have it. Okay, I know what he's talking about. And it's a good meter, but that tells you something's there. I like a different meter. I don't sell them, but like
Less EMF does, right?
Yeah, Less EMF out of New York. They sell them. It's called a HF35C. Made by Gigahertz Solution.
HF35. So why do... If we had that orange guy and you got the microwatts meter squared, why would you even need this HF35C?
Well, if you got the orange guy...
You're good.
You're good, okay?
Okay.
But
yeah.
What I like is the HF35C. I have them both, okay? The orange guy tells you, hey, there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between that one, and it's going to be the same. They're both accurate meters, whatever, okay?
Right.
And the orange one's like a, you know, it looks from three different directions and, you know, triangulates things. It tells you something's there. The HF35C is a directional antenna, and so you got to be kind of pointing at.
You can see where it's coming from, yeah.
So not only does it tell me, hey, there's something here,
mm-hmm.
It tells me where it's coming from.
Right.
So it helps me a little bit there, but because, again, I do it for a living, and somebody says, hey, can you come out and help me here, and I'm taking a measurement. They're not happy with me just saying, well, yeah, there's something here.
Right.
I mean, I have to say, it's coming from your neighbor's smart meter, or it's coming from that cell tower that's, you know, up on the hill over there, or it's coming from your deck phone that you have plugged in next to your bed,
right?
Something like that.
Here's an email from Dave Stetzer for Peter, from Peter in Omaha. By the way, we only have 15 minutes left, so if you want to ask Dave a question, come on in. I understand Dave's opinion about earth grounding from past shows with Patrick. In a typical city environment, an individual is being charged up like a capacitor, continuously and temporarily grounding on mental or foil will not last long. If you ground true, you are dropping the body's voltage in exchange for an electrical current flow. But I believe that the current flow is the least harmful of the two. Personally, I've been sleeping earth grounded via copper rod for about 10 years and walking with grounded shoes, and my health conditions have only improved. 72, physically work every day with more energy. What's Dave's opinion?
Well, he would get the same result or better if he didn't hook it to the rod. If you're sleeping on a... Look, if you're... He's absolutely right. When you go ahead and you discharge or stand on a
tin foil
or metallic surface, you will discharge. Okay, so if you do it before you go to bed at night, you know, and you're not sleeping in a bad environment, you'll be discharged the same in the morning. But if you're working in front of a computer, under fluorescent lights, you know, things like that, you will charge up again. Okay, so...
And even worse if you had your feet on a tinfoil, correct?
Yes,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You do increase the current. Now, mm-hmm. He's maybe making one little mistake, you know, as far as the current going through your body. This body voltage thing is kind of a quackery thing, and what happens is if you're and he's right about is you increase the volt or you know if you're dropping the voltage or increasing the current, but what happens when you're working on a computer, but you don't want any current going through your body, AC current, like 18 microamps, and I didn't do the study, National Institute of Health and Environmental Sciences did the studies in numerous well-programmed studies at this. 18 microamps will cause is associated with cancer, and this is in numerous well-programmed studies. 60 microamps, these are millionths of an amp, okay, will stop a dog's heart.
Wow.
80 microamps will stop a human heart. Now, if you take an 11-watt CFL, you know, compact fluorescent light, and if you're within a foot away from that, you'll have 27 microamps going through your body.
Great.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, but how does this, wait a minute, how does this tie in with the grounding? I kind of lost you.
Well, okay, but when you're grounding, you're given it a better path. And the ground in North America, okay, is not at zero potential. There's all kinds of current. In 1998, 70% of all the current that goes out on the phase wires, the hot wires, returns to the substation via the earth, okay? 70%.
Right.
In other words, it's not on 30, only 30% was on the wire, and now it's worse, okay? So do you want to connect yourself to that ground? Probably not. And you know that third wire, you know, the plug on your outlet?
That's even worse, right?
Yeah, if you look at that and you follow it back, it goes back to your electrical panel. From there, it goes out to your transformer. From there, it's bonded to the bottom wire of that power line, okay? So would you go out, climb up the power pole, hook a wire to the bottom line of that wire, come back in and hook it to a mat or a metallic surface and stand on it? Probably not.
So how many microwatts are going through the earth at any time? And it's been measured a lot. I know Milham has. Have you measured it, like just stick a thing in the ground in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, you can measure.
How much is going through there generally?
Well, the EPRI, Electric Power Research Institute out of Palo Alto, California, and a Minnesota science advisors, in 1998, both of them, two separate studies, said 70% of all the current that goes out that's being sold returns to the substation via the earth.
Right.
So if you're looking at 70% or whatever percentage, but there's going to be more concentration, you know, current's going to take the path of least resistance. Well, your water pipes are more, they're more conductive than, of course, the sandy soil or something that would be out there. And so you're going to have more current flowing on that. You're going to have current on your water pipes. You're going to have current on that ground wire on that.
Well, how much is going through the ground? Do we have any idea?
Well, you can figure out how much is being sold and take a percentage for that.
Well, how much is it when you've measured it?
Well, you can't measure the current only at one spot, okay?
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, you can't clamp, you know, like we use a clamp on amp meter or something to clamp a wire. We can tell you how much is going through the wire, but we have to calculate the earth.
Oh, so Peter or somebody couldn't measure how much is in there where he's got his ground thing down.
Yes, he could take a ground rod from where his ground rod is.
Yeah.
To where his mat is, okay, then he can take a meter and go a voltmeter and go between, just open the circuit between the wire it connects to the ground rod and that mat, and just take a reading between the two.
And if there's anything on there, he'd be better not hooking to the ground.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Strange.
And see, you can use an oscilloscope. And you can actually get the waveform, and you can actually see how many do a Fourier transform and get all the different frequencies that are there. It isn't just going to be 60 cycle on that ground. It's going to be all kinds of high frequencies.
And you said all these different videos on YouTube that show the voltmeter, right, hook, and then you step on it and it goes down, they're all wrong because they're just measuring the wrong thing.
Yeah, okay. If you go to your water faucet, okay, I use this analogy, okay? Voltage is pressure, okay? So if you go to your water faucet in the kitchen and you have 60 pounds per square inch of, you have a pressure gauge there teed off and it says 60 pounds per square inch, right? But if you turn the faucet on, what happens to that pressure gauge? It drops, right? But you've increased the flow of water. You understand?
Yeah.
Voltage is pressure. Current is the flow of electrons. So now if you go ahead and you have this volt reading, right, and then you step on this conductive surface, more current's allowed to go through your body. You give it an easier path to flow. So the current increased, but the voltage dropped.
The pressure
drops because you got an easy place for it to flow. You understand?
And that's what people are measuring on all these
I
videos.
Know. Yeah, they don't know the difference between current and voltage.
Huh. Wow. In the U.S., writes Ellen, is the electricity that flows back to the source via the ground DC or AC?
AC.
AC.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, AC. Majority of it's AC, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some can be DC on DC transmission lines, but they're rare, and but it's mostly AC.
If you get a tri-field meter, as you know, you can measure two things, electrical energy and magnetic energy, right?
Electric fields and magnetic fields.
And electric fields and magnetic fields. And magnetic fields come out when there's just any kind of a motor, even driving in the car, you have magnetic energy, right?
When there's actual current flow, you're going to measure that magnetic field, yes.
Yeah. So are there safe levels of that, or?
I still like to go back to Dr. Neil Cherry, who I like to quote him. The safe level is zero.
Is it for everything, right?
Yeah. The safe level is zero. There may be an acceptable level. If there is, I don't know what it is.
Right. But, I mean, of course, we get these magnetic fields everywhere. I mean, next to your refrigerator or even your juicer puts out a field of magnetic fields. Everything.
Yes.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, and again, if it's a clean 60-cycle field, okay, I don't worry too much about it because it's not going internal.
How would you measure if it's a clean 60-cycle?
Well, you'd have to have like an oscilloscope or some other kind of meter that's measuring that.
Oh, you mean you could actually put a meter on your juicer to see if it's putting out a sine wave?
Well,
I'm
it's not. Well, you can measure the current that it's drawing,
yeah.
You know? Yes, and you can do that. But your juicer's not going to be because it has brushes in the little motor there. And as it slides over the commutator, you get a little arc. If you look in it sometimes, I don't know if you can see it in a juicer or not, but some things you can, like a mixer or something, you know? Then they got the little slots in the back, you know, so you can kind of, for cooling. If you look in there, you'll see arcing on the brushes.
Yeah.
And then that would be like dirty power or high frequency transient.
So we get from these motors, anything with a motor, we're going to get some juice just living on planet Earth.
Like a ceiling fan, for example.
Sure.
You know, there's just a capacitor in there, and you turn it on, and, you know, it's a 60-cycle field. If you have clean power going in, you'll have clean power coming out. And so I don't worry about something like that.
Clean power coming in, clean power.
Yeah, if you got clean power going in, you're going to have clean power coming out. It's not dirtying it up. Or if you have clean power going into a computer and it comes out, it's terrible.
Oh, you mean if you've got your little meters in your home and stuff like that?
Yeah, if you put the filters in,
you
cleaned up the power, okay?
Oh, cool.
So I have two ceiling, well, I have more than that, but I have ceiling fans in my house. And if you go next to them, you're going to read like, you know, 5 milligauss or 6 or whatever it is, and then you move it 4 or 5 inches away, it drops off real fast.
Sure. George wants to know, does Dave know the effects of LED bulbs on this dirty electricity in our wires?
Yes. Some of them are okay, and some of them are terrible.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't tell you which ones are, you know, like, because even when I found some that were good, then I go back, and usually the dimmable ones are not good.
Okay.
Get them dimmable. But they'll put on, like, 37.5 kilohertz and 68 kilohertz. Now, I can tell you that the LEDs, you know, the ones that are looking like fluorescent lights, you know, the tube type, I haven't found any of them that are any good.
Ew.
Yeah, right, you know.
But you don't,
if you go ahead,
you don't have a brand or something you could mention that you found were good, LEDs?
Actually, yes. I did find some that were really good.
Yeah.
And they were, it was Zilotek, Zilotek.
Z-I-L-O.
Be like in Zulu, yeah.
Zulu, Zilotek.
Yeah. Zilotek, yeah, LEDs. And they're like 100-watt replacements. They only use 14 watts, but they were clean.
Ooh. Well, that's good information. Xylotech LED. I guess you go online and get those guys. Huh? They're clean.
Yeah, I think I found them at Menard stores, but and I think we had to get some off the line. I think they're out of Colorado, Denver, or something.
So we're pretty confident that those guys are running clean, huh?
Yeah, and you can, you know, that little Graham Stetzer meter we got, you can, you can use that meter, and if you don't know and you're going to shop for them, because there are some out there that are, you know.
Reasonably good, yeah.
Yeah, you can put it in a lamp, just screw it in a lamp and plug the meter into the outlet where you're checking where your lamp is.
Turn it on, right?
Turn it on, turn it off, and if you see the number change, then you know it's no good.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. So what he's talking about is there's these little meters, and you all could go in with your neighbors and all that and just help each other, right? And, you know, and what are they, about $100 or 90?
They're about $100, and you get this meter, and it measures the dirty power, and it's always going to measure something. Usually I haven't seen any place where it's clean.
So that would be a cool way. If you get the meter, then you could kind of play around and buy one of these LEDs, or even buy this one of these Xylotechs just to make sure that it's great before you buy a house full of them. Right.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, the ones that I've tested, and that's the one we've actually recommended, and actually I got them in my buildings and outbuildings and stuff, because it's a nice light, and it's not like looking in a smoke filled room or something,
mm-hmm.
and gives off nice light, and it's it's same as 100 watt, you know, the lumen. And it's 14 watts or something like that is all it is.
Pretty cool. Do you know if these LEDs put out blue light? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, a little bit. It depends on what you want. But, you know, remember the old LEDs when they first came out? It was like looking, you know, it was kind of a bluish.
Yeah.
Or kind of a, look. It looked like you were in a smoke-filled room, kind of like, you know. But this is really nice, nice white light.
And I guess the blue light is supposed to screw up with the melatonin or something, doesn't it? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not too sure on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. That could be just a, whatever, an internet rumor or something too, you know? I don't know. They actually sell glasses and stuff too. Yeah, orange glasses to filter out the blue light. Let me do a couple more, then we're going to go. Let's see, because we got some emails coming in here. Is there any benefit to turning off the power at the electrical box, even if we have the Stetzer filters at night?
I use the filters. There's disadvantages of turning off the power. And what it is we have a hot wire and we have a neutral wire, and they're always the same. You have a black wire and a white wire on your outlets, okay, your circuit. And those two wires are always out of phase with each other, 180 degrees out. And so when you put the filter in, you're shorting something from the hot wire to the white wire, vice versa. If you turn the power off, you've only turned off the hot wire. But you didn't turn off the neutral, and you didn't turn off the ground. And those two are not out of phase with each other, okay? So you can't short anything out. So there are still some high frequencies there. Now, they're not riding on the 120 volts, but they are riding on what is there.
I see, yeah.
And so you can't short out. If you have the filters in, there's no advantage of turning the power off. If you don't have any filters, then there is an advantage of turning the power off.
Dr. Ray Pete is on the line. Dr. Pete, hang right there. We're going to just finish up one more email, and then we're going to get to you. And let's see, let's finish up here. I have more for AP. Let's see this one. So when Dave said that the solar inverters send dirty electricity frequencies not only on the wire but also in the ground, is he referring to both grid tie systems and standalone battery systems?
Yes, both.
Both.
Because they still bond. Code requires it to connect it to the earth.
I see. To combat the issue, would the CoreCom filters be installed at each microinverter or each solar panel, or just one near the circuit breaker?
No, you just need it by the inverter, the output of the inverter.
Huh.
The solar panels are fine. Don't worry about the solar panels. They produce DC current. it's totally fine, in my opinion, until it comes through the inverter. Once it goes through the inverter, that's where we create a problem.
Yeah, and
very good questions.
Yeah, we have good questions. Well, Dave, it's always fun talking to you. Enjoy your two feet of global warming on the ground. So that'll be fun up there in Wisconsin. And keep in touch and let us know if we can help with anything along the way.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Been a pleasure. Dave Stetzer, StetzerElectric.com. These little filters are very inexpensive, and they do work, and they'll filter out a lot of dirty electricity in your home. And it's just one other thing that you can do to help to improve your health, because these things really affect the body. They affect the immune system. Dr. Magda Havas up in Canada has done all kinds of research. They affect blood sugar. It's crazy, but it does. And so we there's always a way to protect ourselves. All right, it's February 19th, 2019. Dr. Ray Peet is on the line, and we're going to open the show officially and talk to him and have some fun. Stay there.